So, a couple years ago, I had the idea to take a conflict resolution course because I felt like the world around me was in such turmoil, and I had no concept on how to even think about it, much less help resolve anything. I was so terribly surprised by the first chapter's direction, which was to address the conflict within myself. At first, I scoffed, arrogantly thinking, I don't have any big issues, but whatever, I'll go through this part to get to the rest of the course. Well, as it turns out, I did have a bunch of conflicts within myself that needed a conclusion. And in fact, I realized I can't help anyone with their conflicts if I didn't begin to face my own. Luke 6:41. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? You probably knew that verse was coming, didn't you? But I thought it was appropriate. If we don't face our own conflicts first, it's back to the idea that we can't solve problems with the same mindset which created the problems. Only telling people about Jesus and never hanging around to be involved with them helps us to feel successful about ourselves without having to actually reveal anything of ourselves. We get to look all pious and glorious while no one sees the dead grass in our own backyard. Our self-attained piousness only works as long as we keep everyone at a distance, never letting anyone into our lives. I think maybe many of us love to make disciples, but we just don't like raising them. In light of that, a conversation is an informal exchange of views, observations, opinions, feelings, or ideas according to Webster's. And there's all kinds. Quiet conversations, loud ones, personal or private conversations, and others which are the open forum type for anyone who would participate. They typically go in directions which aren't predictable either. After all, if it were scripted, it wouldn't be a conversation. It would be called a play. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with someone who doesn't share anything of themselves? It doesn't go far without some degree of vulnerability. And without vulnerability, it usually feels more like someone is gleaning information from you than actually wanting to be involved with you. A good conversation is a risk because it requires transparency. To conversate, we must go with the flow, and truly, there are people who don't flow easily. So there again, conversation is not easily found with them. A good conversation is more valuable than we imagine. It is us allowing others into our lives and others allowing us into theirs. I'm going to say this several times in this program, so here it is. If we don't learn the art of conversation and even small talk, we'll never see the green shoots of grace in people's backyards. Now, what that means is when we allow ourselves to access and be accessed, we metaphorically are allowed to walk around in the places of people's lives which aren't seen merely by walking by the front of their house. The front of their house is the presentation phase, but their backyard is where they really live. Conversation and small talk get them in our backyard and us in theirs. It requires some trust, which means we can't just use our theological vocabulary. We've got to actually be people of grace and kindness to facilitate a safe place for others. So, what is a conversation? From what I can gather, a good conversation contains asking questions, giving information, proposing different perceptions, stating something that is true, and reflecting understanding. How about listening and then testing ideas? All that is done gently with kindness, of course. In Luke 11:9, when Jesus said, "Ask, seek, knock," do you think that was just him telling us how to get what we want? Or was it more an invitation into a conversation with God?